Good evening, church. My word study for tonight's lesson is fellowship. I wanted to, first and foremost, before I get started, to thank the elders for this opportunity. And the opportunity is pick a word and pick your day. When you're young, you need seasoned men to guide you along the way, and that is not to let you have excuses or give you a way out, but to thrust you where you need to be and to grow you in spite of your fears and your hesitations. Before I get started, I want to ask the people in the back row, can you hear me? I want to make sure that I'm speaking loud enough. Thank you. One of the scriptures in the church that we use to highlight fellowship is Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It's kind of like, as soon as I heard that topic, I'm like, I went to one place to begin my study. And as I started studying this, the lesson kind of started to transform a little bit. And as you get there, I'll go ahead and read. And it reads, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear and wonder came upon every soul, and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I know when we read about fellowship, a lot of us want to partake in all of these things. We want the breaking of bread. We want the selflessness. But as this lesson started to develop, I realized I was overlooking one key point. It is not about, before I can get to the fellowship, it's about the apostles' doctrine. Yes. This is about me being open to receive God's word and abide fully within it. It's like, if I don't understand the teachings, if I refuse to allow myself to be taught, then fellowship will not take place. There will not be any selfish acts. There will be no house to house. There will be no breaking of bread. None of these things will happen until we open ourselves up and allow ourselves to be corrected, reproved, and instructed by God's word. And what thing I want to put into this, though, God's word comes from men. A lot of times we just want to say, I read the Bible and I fix myself. It's like, no, that is really not going to happen. And we can look at the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 10. He was reading, eight, thank you very much. He was reading, studying diligently, but without the evangelist Philip coming there to teach him, he would have had nothing but good intentions. Yes. He would have just been striving in vain. So when we say allow the word to instruct you, we need to realize that for Christians, that word comes from two ways. That word comes from our elders, and that word comes from our evangelists. And so we have to be open to the guidance and instructions of our elders as they shepherd the flock to establish the parameters and bring us the pure, unadulterated word of God, and to serve and allow ourselves to be corrected by the minister that they selected, who will teach us the word of God, whether we want to hear it, whether we don't want to hear it. We have to realize that they gave us the man in place to bring us that word. So we can't just say to allow ourselves to be instructed by that word. That word is coming from the elders and our minister. And we have to submit unto their authority if we're going to grow as a congregation and we're going to have that fellowship. So sometimes when we say, let the word dwell in you, it's like, no, receive the correction by the men that God has put in place to guide you. And so that's something that we need to do as a congregation. I think I got off point for one thing before I got started. I always want to say this. When we teach the word of God, we teach it in its purity. Don't think I have always been in line with these principles. Don't think that I haven't struggled and still struggle with submitting myself and being told what to do. Sometimes we think just because we left our parents' house that we don't have that I'm free. It's like, no. There's still authority. I'm still under the elders' authority. I'm under the authority of the deacons. I'm ultimately under the authority of the Word of God. So we need to realize that, and I always want to put that out there. I don't want y'all thinking that I have this under control. I am still working to put this under control. If the elders call me and say I need the grass mowed, well, I need to get my lawnmower and come here and mow the grass. If the building needs painted, I need to be here to paint the building. So I need to be ready and willing to be instructed by them. So that's what I want to get at. It's like we got to allow ourselves to be instructed by the Word of God. We got to open ourselves up to that instruction. And to highlight that, I want to take the lesson from Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 speaks about Ananias when he got the Lord's call. And it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints in Jerusalem. If we realize one thing in this is that God saved us and brought us his word to be workers. When God called upon us, we need to be ready to be workers. It's just not like a friendly call. God calls to put his people to work. And not all the times that those tasks are pleasant, and not all those tasks that we want to accomplish. So God gave Ananias a task, but like Ananias, it's like us a lot of times. We always want to offer our perspective on events, who this person is, what they've done, and we ultimately try to worm ourselves out of it. And it's kind of funny that for us, we have an insight into Scripture. We know that was God there a witness when Stephen was stoned? Did God not know the actions of Paul? Yes. God could have easily said to Ananias, like, look, I was there to receive him. What are you telling me? If I sent my son and I didn't spare him, what makes you think that I would spare any of you and any of us from the hardships of living this life and standing on his word? So something that we need to realize is that God is here to give us tasks and to put us to work. And a lot of times we see this work, but we don't see the outcome of this work. We see the challenging task, and we see the human nature. And a lot of times when we see that human nature, it kind of like disturbs us and reviles us. And when we understand like what sin is and who these people are, it's like this is what sin looks like. This is what people do. If you don't have God in your life, this is how you behave. It's like, this is how you behave when you don't have God. You are a terror to yourself and everyone around you. You're just like a walking cancer doing everything that's wrong. I remember when I was young, you know, I would roll up into the schoolhouse with my music blasting. My teacher told me, and she said, I heard every cuss word in that song. He said, I never knew they could have so many curse words in this one song. And she was like, you can't do this. And she corrected me. And the thing is, just like, she's like, what are you doing? She's like, how are you acting like this? And I was like, of course, I'm 16. This is what I do. She's like, no, this is not what you do. This is what the heathen do. And so she corrected me with God's word and with the instructions. Like, this is what we do. She accepted who I am, but she encouraged me as well. She said, you can do better. She said, read some scriptures and understand how young men need to behave themselves. She's like, pull up your pants, tuck your shirt in. She just went down this list of instructions, right? She understands who I was and also the man that you can become, right? And so when we see this and we have to deal with people and their sin, let's go forward because God has a plan that we may not always see. And the next thing I want to talk to us about Christians that sometimes we struggle with really just accepting God's word. It's like we fight so hard against God's word in so many things. It's like God is like punishing us. Like, If you talk to a young man about marriage and getting married, it's like, just one woman? Like, yes, just one woman for the rest of your life. And it's okay. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to have one wife. You will be okay. You will learn to love this individual, and this individual will become to mean more to you than anything in this world. When they're happy, you're happy. When you're sad, they're sad. And you will have children that come along. And regardless of the lack of sleep that you will have, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. You would not trade them for anything in the world. And you also will come to love God's people. It's like whenever we go and wherever we do, the church becomes our friends. Why? Because they have no other choice. It's like we're going to be friends. We have no one else. It's like me and Simona, we've moved time and time again. It's like, but one thing we can depend on is God's people and God's church. Regardless of the flaws they may have, which we all do, it's like this is our family. This is where we find acceptance. This is where we find hope. This is where we find our identity. Everything we are is the result of these people. Everything I am is because of interaction with these people. It's like we can't find our own way. It wasn't for the older ladies grabbing my wife, the older men grabbing myself. It's like, what type of person would I be, right? And so a lot of us don't want to grab that Saul of Tarsus, but grab that Saul of Tarsus and bring him along. Our church, when we first got baptized, it's like the youngest person there was 65. So I was 19 years old hanging out with 65-year-old men. All they talked about was God, the weather, and that's all they talked about was God and the weather. I learned more about God and the weather than all I could get. You know, it was about God and how you doing? What are your plans for life? What you see yourself in 5 years? I'm like, I can't even figure out tomorrow, but... they was like, why are you listening to me? What music you listen to? I was like, R. Kelly. He's like, you don't have anything better than that? Mighty Clouds of Joy. They was like, Kurt Franklin. Like, here's some acapella music. And we would sing songs. We would study the Bible. Oh my God. We studied the Bible all the time. I was like, I am bored to death. But I tell you what, I could, after being with them, I learned what I needed to be. And who I need to be. It's like, if you're 19 years old, the best friend you can have is someone who's 65 years old. They're going to talk to you about your credit. You're going to learn about housing. You're going to learn about mortgage. You're going to learn about kids and grandkids. We just sat in the house and talked with no AC, looking at all the pictures on your wall. I looked at all. We just walked down. Oh, this is my grandbaby. This is my grandson. This is this. And gradually, you learn to come that people do care and accept the form of care. So I think I got off track a little bit just to get back on track. It's to say, like, when God tells us something, we need to accept it, right? We need to accept it. And what the acceptance looked like, and one thing we can't do is badmouth God or what he put forth, right? When God talked about Ananias, guess what Ananias said? He said something kind of insulting. God says, go to the house of straight for one that called Saul of Tarsus. But Saul said, I have heard of this man. Now, God called him Saul of Tarsus. Call him by his name. It's like he's not a him. It's like sometimes we have this like animosity towards people, like they do something we know about them. It's like, no. You still show the respect that God shows to him. It's like, do you know about this man? God's like, yes, I know about this man, and I have chosen him. It's like God has chosen us to be his particular people called out of the world. There's no better people on this earth, right, than the people in this room, because their perspective is heaven. And they have the word of truth. They have everything you need. They have the guidance, the instruction, the love of God to see you through every situation. These are the people who will not turn their back on you. These are the people that will love you, guide you, and give you what you need. Yes, sir. And so it's like when we talk about God's word and we talk about the sermon, it's like I hate the fact that Maxwell has to talk about I won't be long. Look, preach. Get down when you get down. You don't have to ask for permission. It's like they say the older men are our fathers. You know, when I left, when my dad was done, I sat there while he talked to his friends, and I left when he was done, and I dared not say anything against it. I never, in my mind, I was like, when he's going to wrap it up? But I know best to sit there and be quiet. It's like, we should say, preach, Maxwell. Don't tell me you're going to be done soon. You're done when you get off the stage. is that we should not make each other apologize for who we are. Be free for who you are. Be who you are in the Lord, right?
Yes, amen.
It's like preach the word. Preach the word. Let us know what we need to do. Let us know. It's like we have to really accept one another for all that they do. You know, I love the way Brother Mike Lee's Thornley's song. He just, that hand gets to going and he's just enjoying himself. I love it. You know, I just love the way my brothers and sisters interact with one another. It's a great, beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
And so we can't disparage God's word. If God says something is good, we need to call it good. If God says, go to the street called straight and find Saul of Tarsus, don't tell me about him. Don't say, him who did this? It's like, no. That's not how you refer to the commandments that God gives. Realize that it has a purpose, right? And you look down and at the end, at Acts chapter 9, verse 15, The Lord says, but God said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many great things he must suffer for thy sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hand on him. He said, what? Brother Saul, show the love and respect that God has for the people that God favors, right? He said, treat the older men as fathers, the younger men as brothers, right? And so that's what we're supposed to do, right? If you see my daughters doing something, correct them. You ain't got to go tell me and Simona. You know, it's like they're doing something up and down this hall, finna knock someone down. Tell them to sit down. You know, tell them to sit down. Don't worry about me. Just tell them to sit down. Say, Mac, I had to like tell her to sit down and start running the house. I'm like, all right, good. Keep it moving, right? These are your children as well.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So don't be afraid of that, right? We are a family. Mm-hmm. And too many people try to claim that. You got the Masons, you got the Hells Angels, you got every organization always talking about, we're a family. It's like, no, you are not a family. You are some heathens. And you're always infringing on what God has to do. I hate it sometimes in the military, like I love my brother, but you're not the family that this family is.
Yes.
You're not those people, right? So it's like we have the blessings, and so let us execute like that. So, and the last thing that I want to, oh goodness, I feel like I've been speaking forever. And one illustration that, maybe it's the heat, it's kind of hot up here. One illustration that I want to look at is in Judges chapter 11. Verses 1 through 10. And I want to speak about like our connection to one another. Brother Maxwell, you hit on a lot of my topics, so I had to adjust last minute. And I have my Bible down there. It's kind of old, so I'm stumbling through this one a little bit because I have a different version, because the King James just reads a little weird to me sometimes. And when I'm talking and converting with people, when I start saying, thus thou, they done said this, and it's like, some of my younger friends, when I try to convert them, they're like, I'm really not understanding what you're trying to get across. So I had to update my version, so I have a different version that I read. So, but for this, I tried to go back to the King James. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. This is one of my favorite stories in the scriptures because it speaks about our relationship to one another. And even though hurt may occur, we are still a family, and that some things that we just have to get over, right? Some things that we have to get over because we're God's people and move forward. Referencing when I was young again, my older brother could do no wrong to where my mom would chastise him. No matter what he did, right? He would like slept on the top bunk. He would get up there and kick his feet, and I would hit the floor. And like just, I was like, kick me off the top bunk. And then I was crying to my mom. She's like, he's your brother. It's like, oh, he's just playing with you. Older brothers tend to play rough. I mean, he would give wedgies and punch you and like just, I was like, he's torturing me. And she was just like, he's your brother. That's how he shows love. I was like, this does not sound right. I was like, are you going to defend him regardless? And she would just say, he's your brother. One day you'll get old enough to return the favor, but for now, he's your brother, and this is how he shows love. So, and I just use that example to say that We're connected, right? We're connected. So let us look at the story goes to Jephthah. It's in Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. And it reads, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. Gilgad begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his sons and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there was gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilgad went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob." I love this story because not everything goes well, right? I've traveled a lot. Not every church is Newport News. Not every church is Peninsula. There is some outlaws out there, and there is some craziness that's out there, okay? And so there are times when we have to deal with stuff. I know preachers and elders have dealt with stuff that can make you cringe. Churches of Christ are losing their identity and going toward denominationalism at a rapid rate. But guess what? Bad things happen, but that doesn't make someone your brother. And no matter the bad things we experience, that doesn't take away the fact that we need to reconcile and move forward, right? You can't go against God's natural design. Same father, your brothers. End of story, right? God is our father and we are brothers. And guess what? There is nothing that the word of God, if it's our main focus, that we cannot come back from, right? So when they came to him, right, in spite of Jephthah being the one abused, right, he had just as much responsibility to try to right that relationship as the people who thrust him out. Israel is his people. So sometimes we can experience hardship within the Lord's body and we say, why am I experiencing this? Sin. That's the easy answer, right? But guess what? That does not take away our ability to reconcile, right? He's still Israel. They still are God's people. And guess what we need to do? Move beyond it. No one said it's not painful. No one said it's hard. But the idea is that we can't stay in that place. Yes, and we forgive and we move on. Don't bring it up. You know it's there. I know it's there. But what are we going to do about it, right? Yes, I was wrong. Yes, they were wrong. But guess what? We're going to move forward and we're going to be brothers, right? We won't be brothers at war. We won't be brothers at each other's throat. We're going to move forward, right? And so, and that's what I love about this story. And they came and said to Jephthah, come be our captain that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilgad, did you not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come to me now when you are distressed? And the elders of Gilgad said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be head over all the inhabitants of Gilgad. Now, we have to confront sin, right? They just can't just walk back in and act like they didn't do anything, right? But we bring forth the issue, we handle the issue, and we move on, right? And this is repeated in our lives time and time again, right? Issues arise, we handle it, we move forward, right? And that's something that we need to do. The hurt will be there, but guess what? You can move forward. And once we get in heaven, that's when it will be removed. It's not something that you can't live with, right? We can move forward, right? And I think that's a message for us at the church we need. So many of us, so many churches of Christ have been built on a split. You know? How many true churches have really been planted, right? How many churches of Christ can we remember that have been planted, right? Yes, sir. That didn't start from a split. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like our legacy, right? It's like when I came to Christians, like, oh, we used to worship over here. We used to worship over there. We used to worship over here. We used to worship over there. But if we have the truth, right? Like Maxwell said, it's embodied when we are reconciled to each other, right? Yes, sir. When we bury these hatchets, right, and we reconcile to one another, then God gets the glory, and that shows us who we are as Christians, right?
Yes.
And so I'm going to end in a little bit, and that is, I'm going to end with Revelations chapter 7, right? Excuse me, Revelations, the seven churches in Revelations. In Revelations chapter 2 through 4, it speaks about a lot of churches going through a lot of problems, right? There's only one church in there, the Church of Philadelphia, that God really praised, right? But nowhere in that scripture that church said, change your membership. You know, no one said, like, find the church that got all the programs for you and your kids. Find the church that looks like they're doing well. No, you grow where you're planted. You work and labor at your congregation. You support your minister. You support your elders. You support your deacons. You work where you are. These are our problems, right? If my kids are acting up, I don't swap them out, right? You know what I'm saying? When they're acting up, I can't go knock to my neighbor's house like, I'm going to sleep here for the night. You know, you work out your problems together, right? You know, that's something that we need to realize, that you do not have the option to go away and go somewhere else. You stand your ground, and you do your best to work out those issues, right? God told the churches, fix it. A lot was going on, right? God said, fix these problems, right? And we have to lean on the word of God and put the effort forward to fix it, right? If God is who he is and his word is powerful as it is, there's no remedy that it can't fix if we are willing to submit to it and go forward and trust in him. So that's what I want to talk about. It's like, if we embody the doctrine and understand that what Maxwell said about Sunday, if you aren't here, is a wonderful lesson about reconciliation. God's word is about reconciling people. You don't have to worry about being wrong, because if you went into that water, you already acknowledged that you were wrong. And sometimes we say the Lord's Supper, we say, this is for the forgiveness of our sins. And sometimes I used to take it with the mindset that when I was baptized, it's like, if I'm being honest, it was a long way before I got to be something of use, of value, right? And even still, it's like, this blood is here to cleanse me of my sins. I have not stopped being a sinner. I just, in all honesty, there's space between my failings now. I'm more dedicated, more thoughtful about my actions. I'm growing each and every day. So my big mistakes, try to space them out a little bit. You can ask my wife sometimes, you know. Now I make a mistake as a husband about every 4 or 5 years. But in all seriousness though, we're here together to grow, right? And we got to be open ourselves up and not be sensitive. So sensitive to say that, like, my pride is hurt when someone tells me something, right? It's like, no, they love you enough to bring it. It's as uncomfortable for the preacher, it's as uncomfortable for the elders, it's as uncomfortable for the deacons, right? We would all like to love and this, but when wrong is there, it needs to be corrected, right? And we commend those who have the courage to go and correct it, right? Because God is going to raise people up, just like God was going to raise up Saul. He was not just going to raise them up to be just a regular member. He was going to be apostle, right? He was going to have authority over you, Ananias. And guess what? He was going to do a lot of great work, right? So there are still men and women out there who need the gospel. But more importantly, we need to be together when they learn the gospel. So when they come in amongst us, they see something that is desired, right? When I first walked in this church, I was like, this is the place I want to be. I saw husbands loving on their wives. I love seeing the ballasts together. They just look good together. They just age well, but it's timeless, right? And you see the love. You see, I looked on a pew. I saw mom and dad. I saw the sons. I saw the wives. I saw the grandchildren. I was like, this is a beautiful place, right? That just does not just happen, right? I see men who look at their wives. I remember I was at Peninsula, and then one of the brothers, I think it was your dad. I think brother, it was somebody's father. Man, the way he talked about his wife and his love for her and the love for God, I was like, so beautiful. So beautiful. Growing up in the world and not having and seeing this, it's a beautiful thing, right? And when we come together, it's so inspirational. So inspirational. So that's all I have. I appreciate the elders for the opportunity. Yes, thank you, brother. And so I just want to encourage us to walk down this aisle. When you have, I remember when I walked down this aisle to be baptized, seemed like the longest walk in the known history. It's like running like a marathon. But guess what? Your brothers are here to help and to encourage and to pray for you. And we're some people who will not give up on you, right? We don't have a lot of money, but if you need something, we'll put something on it, right? We will help. We will encourage. We will sing songs with you. We will pray with you. Our house is open. You need somewhere to stay. Let us know what you can do, right? Because you give us an opportunity to care about you. As Americans, we always say, I got it. You know, we say that we have an independent spirit as a nation, but as Christians, we're dependent upon one another, right? And we come forward to say you need help, and there's nothing wrong with coming together to need help, right? No one is perfect. We all struggle. So why not come down here where people will receive you, right, and help you and encourage you and guide you? So if you need something, one of the creators come forward to receive you as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
394, page 394.